Coming up, 3, 2, and 1. Welcome back to Farm Talk, our great outdoors segment on a Friday, and looks like we may get some rain today or tonight. We'll see how that pans out. A lot of areas needing rain. With the drought conditions, Doug, that we have had this summer, how is that affecting wildlife? Now, I know we've gotten some rain in the southern part of the state a little bit. In fact, some areas maybe got an inch or two, but very select areas. But when we get super dry, like it is, severe drought in areas, what is that doing to wildlife?
Yeah. The short term is not as much of a concern. There, a lot of your wildlife species get kind of used to going through the peaks and the valleys, the cold and the wet and the hot and the dry. And I've seen it myself. I've been doing upland game surveys early in the morning, going out for my drive, and you see the varied conditions, and you know, the farmers and ranchers, I can tell you that I've seen spots where the corn has just really, really been hit hard by the heat and the lack of precipitation. And then you drive on another hour and you see some corn, you go, wow, that stuff is looking absolutely fantastic. So to paint it broad, like across the board for wildlife, you know, if you're talking about from Wahpeton to Williston, is really hard to do, because we have had a summer where there have been pockets that have gotten some timely rains. And so in the short term, maybe not quite as noticeable in what you'll see from ducks and deer and pheasants and grouse. There is a little bit of a concern, and we won't know the totality of our brood surveys until the end of August. But there may be some smaller, like sizes of clutches, where you maybe were expecting to see 5 or 6 pheasants, and you see maybe 3 or 4 or 2 or 3, because when it does get so hot, the recruitment can suffer just a little bit because of the extreme temperatures. Then the next thing is going towards fall and heading towards winter, where we get even more concerned on the long term, is what do we have for habitat? Because just like the stunted crops or the parched pasture land, the habitat for grouse and pheasants and deer, that's dependent on having the timely rains. And if we don't have that, they need that for the winter survival. And that's another area to keep our eyes open. And I, it's kind of like hearing some of those reports, you know, Thursday, of places that got a lot of rain, other places, didn't get much rain at all. And when you move forward, you're just going to really see some spots where there may not be that production this year from. And that's the tough thing. You're managing wildlife across the entire state. And when you have a summer that's been as spotty as it's been, it really makes it a challenge to kind of do that.
Okay, switching gears just a little bit, I saw you had the article with the form, and was talking about, you wrote about the Legacy Soil Health and Habitat Fund that Governor Kelly Armstrong started several months ago, and I'm sure it was in conjunction with Game and Fish and other entities, but I haven't heard how it's going. I know that there was money set aside. You wrote about it.
Yep.
Can you give a little update on that?
It went great, and if you're not familiar with it, Governor Kelly Armstrong, along with Game and Fish, North Dakota Soil Conservation Districts, as you can imagine, with just about everything, there's partners, there's politicians, there's people. And at the end of the day, there was an outdoor heritage fund of $6.5 million that was matched. And what happened was the supply couldn't meet the demand. And there were 450 applications for 20,000 acres.
Oh, man.
And there was $10 million that was allocated for it. Along with that, there was 6,000 acres of plots, which would be that walk-in in hunting access. So for a program that just started off, I think it was off the charts. I think for a lot of people, and I was at that unveiling of it south of Mapleton. And one of the things that really stuck with me was, there's always going to be, something where a landowner says, well, this doesn't fit for me. It's voluntary. And that's something in this day and age that we cannot stress enough. This program is voluntary. And you can look at it and go, yeah, you know what? It doesn't fit for me. You know, it was interesting, and I looked at it, and it doesn't fit for me. And Governor Armstrong was very, very adamant to keep as much red tape out of this as possible. And it's a one-page application. And, I mean, I don't even know. I don't think you can, you know, get your kids in youth football with a one-page application. You probably got this waiver and that waiver and this consent form. And that goes a long way to building, you know, to building that interest. And so it's a five-year agreement. And one of the other real visionary things is it offers a crop insurance credit for acres converted from unproductive cropland to grassland habitat. And if you're a farmer or a rancher, that's something that can really draw an interest in is those crop insurance credits. So, it met the allocation goal right out of the gate. So the hope and the plan is for 2027, I can't believe I just said 2027, is to find more funding and more matches to grow this program. So it's one of those programs where you keep your eyes and your ears open because it just started. And it's going to happen again, and it'll need support from, you know, your local soil conservation district, from, you know, your local state representatives to help grow this as a benefit for farmers, ranchers, and landowners, as a benefit for habitat, as a benefit for deer and pheasants, and then a benefit for hunting. So a lot of smiles across the board at the end of the day.
I haven't talked to Kelly for a little bit, but I remember talking to him about the program, and what happened is exactly what happened is that there was more demand than money. And so that's what he was hoping for, so they could increase it or work to try and increase the funds for that program. But you got to show that there's demand.
I was listening to you.
So I got to get Kelly back on. It's been a little bit. I know he's been super busy with the 250 and all the different things that he's up to and what he's been doing. But we'll have to get him back on the radio here pretty soon. One other thing that I wanted to ask you about before we run out of time here, we've talked about, you know, mountain lions and different sightings in cities and concern levels before, but I hadn't seen any active stories until recently, and it's not that far away. Do we have any updates, or do we know about the sighting of, I'm sure you do, but the sighting around the Mapleton area of a mountain lion?
Yeah, nothing confirmed. Nothing confirmed, and that doesn't mean that it didn't happen or it couldn't happen last night or tonight, and that's one of the things about the big apex predators, when you talk about mountain lions and wolves. And that particular instance was not confirmed. And similar to a tornado, is there's specific physical evidence that we need to confirm it, whether it's hair or feces or tracks. A tornado needs to have that physical damage that that National Weather Service can investigate and say. And what I'll tell people, whether you're a farmer, a rancher, if you're going out hunting, early Canada goose season in North Dakota opens up on Saturday morning. Yeah, that's right. Our first hunting season of the year opens up. Is when you're going outdoors, now more than ever, you have to be situationally aware. And it's no different than, you know, parking at a parking lot at a Walmart. Is the good old days are a long ways behind us. And when you go outdoors, you never know what you may find. You could find a mountain lion. You could find a wolf. You could find some transient that's out there that's hooked on meth in the outdoors. It happens at national parks and rural areas. No different than it can happen in a parking lot at a big box store. So nothing confirmed recently on mountain lions and bears in and around the Fargo area, but they're around. And, you know, same thing, you grew up in bear country and wolves in Minnesota. It's just a matter of making sure that you're aware of yourself and your surroundings. And that's really something. We get outdoors because we want to relax and enjoy it. But just like putting on sunscreen and bug spray, putting on a life jacket and wearing your seatbelt when you drive there, you still have to maintain that level of safety to make sure that at the end of the day that we've got that we got smiles as we wrap up our trip outdoors.
Okay. Last question for you. Deer archery season, is that opening pretty soon? Because I know I'm sick of watching them eat my mother's garden.
Yeah, it's opening up on Friday, September 4th in North Dakota. Now's the time to buy that tag. It comes through the mail. So buy your tag. Archery season in North Dakota opens up on Friday, September 4th at 12 noon. That's when the mountain lion season opens up. The dove season opens up on Tuesday, September 1st. Fall turkey applications are due Wednesday, September 2nd. And as I mentioned briefly, Canada goose season for North Dakota opens up on Saturday morning. So hunting season is here, my friend.
And pre-pile season is back open again. So be careful for trucks out there in the rural areas. Sure,
I heard Harrison Weber. I'm waiting for the slam dunk from Harrison. I was listening.
Thank you very much, sir. Have a great day. We'll talk to you again next week.
Take care, Eric. Thanks so much.